FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. It's March 20th, 2018. Oh, as always, please participate in the show. Feel free to send us an email to kl@kerrylutz.com. Well, Obamacare in the news yet again. The traitorous Republican Congress, well, I guess I'm betraying my bias there, is attempting to incorporate a bailout for Obamacare in the Senate budget resolution that is now pending. The House has rejected the bailout. There's a lot more to that, but what you really need to know about is single pay or single payer health care, meaning one person writes all the checks or one entity writes all the checks. As a free market economist, not my cup of tea, but there's a lot more wrong with it than just that. And you're about to hear from Sally C. Pipes. Sally, you're president, chief executive officer of the Pacific Research Institute on the Left Coast, located in San Francisco. You've written a number of books about the subject before, among them The Cure for Obamacare and The Truth About Obamacare. Now, your latest book, The False Promise of Single-Payer Health. Healthcare, what are we to do? Sally, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you so much for having me on. Healthcare is still very much in the news, and I think a lot of the polls have shown that healthcare is going to be the number one domestic policy issue in the upcoming midterm election and probably going through to the 2020 presidential election.
Well, if we look back at the midterm election, when was that? In 2010 and 2014, during the Obama regime, both times, the first time the House majority Democrats were swept out. The second time, the Senate was swept out. The Democrats and the Senate, both houses came under the control of the Republicans, largely because of health care, correct?
Absolutely. And of course, we all know that when President Trump, then candidate Trump, was campaigning in the race against Hillary, you know, he said many times that health care reform and repealing and replacing disastrous Obamacare was going to be the number one issue. And I think that was a key reason why he was elected president, particularly in states like Pennsylvania and Michigan, where, you know, everyone thought that Hillary would be a winner. But the people, you know, were very upset with Obamacare, which, by the way, we'll be celebrating because it still is a law. It's 8th birthday this coming Friday. So people were upset. Very high premiums, high deductibles. What good is it to have health coverage with an exchange plan if the deductible is $12,000 and your middle income, you can't afford to use the health care, your insurance, because you can't, and that's just too high a deductible. And then we had, of course, a number of people very upset with the small networks of doctors and hospitals. They would buy a plan, an exchange plan, whether it was bronze, silver, gold, or platinum, and think, well, I'll keep the doctor I've had. And then they would call up the doctor's office and find out that the doctor was not in network. So a number of serious problems. But unfortunately, last year, the Republicans and the were unable to repeal and replace Obamacare, even though there were a number of attempts, as you know.
Yeah, the number of attempts, and makes you wonder if they're treasonous or what their motivation is. But for right now, it's what we've got. At least they were able to repeal the individual mandate. I would have liked to have seen them repeal the business mandate as well, but it is what it is. But single payer, that's what the Democrats, that's their current vintage of snake oil. Single payer is going to fix everything. And look how well it works in Canada. Look how well it works in the UK and all over the world where there's single payer. We got to be crazy not to want this, don't we, Sally?
Well, I think we'd be crazy to want it. I've written a lot on this, and including in my new book. Single payer, and I think a lot of people don't understand what single payer or Medicare for all means. But what single payer means is there is one payer for your health coverage. And in the case of Bernie Sanders, a bill, Medicare for All, Keith Ellison is now the new House guru for the Medicare for All bill. What California's SB 562, the Healthy California Act, which is single payer. All of these plans that are out there are they completely banned private health insurance. So it's interesting in some of the polling when people, now 49% of people say they support single payer. If you ask them, well, would you support single payer if you had to pay a tremendous tax increase to cover this? Because in California, the cost of the single payer model was costed out at $400 billion a year, more than double our whole state budget at $185 billion. But when people are asked, well, would you pay much higher taxes for this? Then the support goes down. But a lot of the polling shows when people say they support single payer, and then they're told, well, then that means you would have to give up your employer-based coverage, which 170 million Americans have. Then they say, oh, no, that won't be for me. I'll be able to keep my employer-based coverage. But no, single payer means government is the only payer, and they won't be able to keep their private coverage. So I am Canadian. I grew up in Canada. I'm an American now, but all of my family is still in Canada, and I watch very closely the problems with the single payer healthcare system there. And it is not a system that we want in this country. And yet, you know, the polling is showing widespread support. And I think the Dems are going to be a big issue for them this fall in the elections, and certainly in the 2020 presidential, when you see senators such as Kamala Harris, Kristen Gillibrand, Cory Booker, and Elizabeth Warren, all very much in support of Bernie Sanders' Medicare for All.
So it's interesting, you know, if we contrast this with the tax bill, the Trump tax reform bill, the Democrats all opposed it, and they said it's awful, and everybody's going to hate it. The more you see it, the more you're going to hate it. And the opposite has occurred. It's actually a case where the more you see the bill, the more people have enjoyed its benefits thus far, the more popular it's gotten. On the other hand, with Obamacare, they didn't get one single Republican vote. And the Democrats said, you know, famously, infamously, Nancy Pelosi said, you got to pass it to see what's in it. And the people weren't crazy about it initially, but the more they've seen it and the more they've enjoyed its so-called benefits, the more they've come to hate this bill.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next.
Are you a highly paid professional, a doctor, a lawyer, or an engineer? Well, here's a podcast for you. It's called a Wealth Formula Podcast, and you'll find it at wealthformula.com. Robert Kiyosaki, Jim Rickards, Fannie Mae chief economist Doug Duncan, they're just a few of the recent guests on this podcast that I'd like to recommend you try out. Wealth Formula Podcast is a really unique show, and it's great if you're looking to build generational wealth. The host, Buck Joffrey, is an ex-surgeon who retired and is now an entrepreneur and investor with a focus on peeling back the secrets of the ultra-wealthy. It's a great show for professionals and entrepreneurs. Check it out. You'll find it at wealthformula.com. Podcast is available on the usual platforms like iTunes, Stitcher, or just Google it, Wealth Formula Podcast.
The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Right, absolutely. And, you know, President Obama, when it passed into law, just after it passed into law on March 23rd, 2010, he said the average family would see their premiums go down by $2,500. And, of course, that has proved completely to be a falsehood. You know, we've seen premium increases in the various, and the silver plan, which is the one that the rates are set by, you know, up by anywhere from 15 to 20 to 30, 37%. So that's exactly the opposite of a reduction in the cost. And Nancy Pelosi was the same Nancy Pelosi who said after the tax reform bill passed, these are just these little crumbs, won't help at all. It's fine for her to say that because her husband is very, very wealthy. But if you're struggling and you're middle up, you know, and you're making, you know, $50 an hour, then, you know, this tax cut is very good for you. And it's very helpful. And these people are very pleased with it.
Exactly. Could not agree with you more. We're seeing it all over the place. And it's just interesting that a party can be so out of touch with the American public, with what you want and what is important to you. Yeah, $1,000 doesn't make any difference, but we were going to save you $2,500. Instead, we cost you $5,000 more. Isn't it a wonderful bill? Well, what are the alternatives? What are the solutions here, Sally, to the problems that ail the healthcare system in the United States? It's outrageously expensive. We all know that.
Right, exactly. Well, you know, it's been interesting, you know, Senator Lamar Alexander from Tennessee, Republican, and Patty Murray, Democratic Senator from Washington State, have been pushing, you know, their bipartisan bill to get it into and to get the cost-sharing reduction subsidies and into the omnibus spending bill. And it looks like the House rejected it. I don't know what the Senate's going to do today. You mentioned that. But it is so interesting that, you know, the Democrats who have been really pushing for these, you know, putting the cost-sharing reduction subsidies back, we're talking about $10 billion a year. And then in the last few days, they've come out against the CSRs and the reinsurance funds going to the insurers. And I think they realize that Obamacare is failing. So they say, we don't want to prop it up anymore. Now we want to move to a single payer system. So what we need to do in this country to restore and continue to have the finest healthcare system in the world, because Canada, the country where I'm from, where the average wait from seeing a primary care doctor to getting treatment by a specialist last year was 21.2 weeks. That's over 5 months. To see a neurosurgeon, 33 weeks. So this is not what we want. We want a system in this country that does bring about affordable, accessible, quality care for all Americans. And that can be done through changing the tax code. Because, you know, during World War II, when wage and price controls were in, the government gave companies the ability to write off the cost of what they pay for their employees' health care. And employees get their health care tax-free. But if they go into the individual market, they have to buy their health coverage with after-tax dollars. Now, I would like to see this employer subsidy actually removed. But in the meantime, because it's not going to happen overnight, I'd like to see individuals be able to get their individual health care tax-free. We need to allow people to buy coverage across state lines, and President Trump has been a big supporter of that. We need to get rid of these individual mandates. You know, there are 10 essential health benefit mandates under Obamacare, which add significantly to the cost of coverage. And then each state has about 40 to 49 mandates as well, alcohol rehabilitation, in vitro fertilization, hair transplants, all these things, which add 20 to 50% to the cost of a premium. If I want a plan that covers alcohol rehabilitation, I should be able to get it. But you probably don't want to subsidize what I want. And so people should be able to get the kind of coverage they want. And certainly we're seeing in the short-term healthcare plans that were part of President Trump's executive order of October 12th. This is kind of the way to go to give people options of different types of coverage. And so a lot of uninsured people who didn't want to buy Obamacare exchange coverage, they paid that individual mandate penalty of $695 or 2.5% of income. They paid that. But a lot of these people, because the exchange coverage was too expensive for what they thought they would need, but with the short-term plans, and they should, we hope, become available in the early fall, that a lot of the uninsured will then buy coverage that suits their needs. So get rid of these mandates, get rid of the employer mandate, do medical malpractice reform. The cost of defensive medicine in this country is about $210 billion a year. So let's give people options. So these are all the kinds of things that I would like to see in a healthcare plan that will bring about affordable, accessible, quality care.
So the Republicans all ran on repealing Obamacare, and yet it never came to pass, amazingly enough. Who would have thunk? Real betrayal. And then they're holding on for dear life, this GOP establishment. They're the same ones that fought President Trump. Look, the Chamber of Commerce wanted this bill, Obamacare. They wanted it. They got it. And the question is, how do we fix this? How do we take back the country, if you will? Because taking back responsibility and care for your own health is really primary to taking back the country.
Right, exactly. Well, I mean, I think the midterm elections are going to be very interesting. You know, a lot of the Republicans, the senators and House members say, we can't repeal and replace Obamacare now because, you know, we'll probably lose will lose significant numbers of seats. Well, I think the opposite is true. The American people elected Republicans and President Trump on the grounds that Obamacare would be repealed and replaced. And if they don't do something significant, then I think the Republicans could be in much greater danger than they are. There are a number of really good things that have happened, under the Trump administration, in addition to repealing the individual mandate, which goes into effect January 1st of next year. You know, the short-term health care plans, which I talked about a minute ago, are a great option, particularly for young people. They're not for everybody, but they're certainly for younger people, people who are healthy, who do not have employer-based coverage. And then we have the association health plans where people in small businesses can band together and get coverage. It'll be cheaper and it'll be better. So that's a good thing. And then allowing people to use in employer-based coverage their health reimbursement accounts to help pay for their premiums for the portion they have to pay. So there are a number of good things that are going on, but I think the Republicans are making a mistake if they think shying away from repeal and replace is going to help them in the midterm elections. I think it's going to be exactly the opposite.
Oh, we know that's for sure. That's a near certainty. And just watch out. If they can't get their act together and still they want to actually subsidize it and bail it out, that's not going to go over well with the electorate, the same electorate that elected President Trump and reelected them to Congress.
Right, exactly. So it's going to be very, very interesting. The problem, I think, you know, the Democrats, they often do not agree among themselves, but they always present that united front. The Republicans, in many cases, are individualists, which is a good thing. But, you know, they should have been able to, I think, President Trump, after the inauguration a year ago, January, should have called everyone together on the Republican, the House side and the Senate side, said, look, we promised the American people this. Let's get our act together and then come forward with what was going to work. Because as you know, the House bill sort of passed in a squeaker last spring. And then but by the end of September, every single bill that had come up before the Senate failed. John McCain, of course, cast the deciding vote. And in fact, those repeal bills were not that free market from my point of view. And a lot of them were, several of them were really keeping Obamacare in place. So I think, you know, and then, of course, Cassidy and Lindsey Graham came up with their idea. And Mitch McConnell never brought it to the Senate for a vote because he was aware that he did not have the votes to pass that repeal bill. So here we are. We're in a quagmire, but these elections are going to be interesting.
That's for sure. Hey, Sally, so I assume your book that we're talking about here, False Promise, is going to be available on Amazon and wherever fine books used to be sold?
Yes, exactly. The False Promise of Single-Payer Healthcare. It's published by Encounter Books in New York, and it's available on Amazon.com now and at several bookstores.
Okay, and people want to take a look at your website. Where should you go?
www.pacificresearch.org.
All right, pacificresearch.org. We'll have a link to it in the show notes to this interview on our site, financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Hey, by the way, be part of the discussion. Join the show. Just send us an email to kl@carrielutz.com. The Twitter feed is @CarrieLutz. The Facebook page, Financial Survival Network. Sally, thanks so much for coming on and good luck with the book.
Thank you so much. It was a delightful conversation. Bye.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.